What's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Think about that. The most wonderful thing in life that's ever happened to you. You know, I think back, and I'm thankful today for a lot of things God has done for us. But when I think about the most wonderful things that ever happened to me in my life, I think that God saw fit through my mother to birth me and allow me to be a human being. That's wonderful, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're human beings? I'd rather be a human being than an animal, hadn't you? Anytime. But this is a wonderful thing to know that God, in His wisdom, created us as human beings and placed us here on this earth. Not only the fact that I was born a human being, is it wonderful to know that, but it's also for me wonderful for me to know that not only am I a human being, but God gave me parents to rear me and to raise me. My mother fed me. My mother changed my diapers. My mother looked after me. My daddy and my mother provided for me food to eat and all this. This is a wonderful thing to know. As I was born a human being, as a baby coming up, that I had parents that looked after me and provided for me. It's wonderful to know that, is it not? It's also wonderful to know that as we grow up, we want to be, as a young person, the first thing we look for is to being a teenager, right? To being a teenager. Now, I know, realize, it's going to have to, for most of us, we're going to have to reflect back a lot of years, okay? But it was wonderful to become a teenager. And what excitement it was when we did. After a teenager, we looked forward then to being able to drive. To drive a car. I never forget my 16th birthday. My daddy took me to the driver's license place and got my driver's license. That was a big thing in my life. Of course, kids now don't do that on their 16th birthday, but thank God I was born in a time that we did. You know, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to get past teenagers and become a driver, to be able to drive a car, drive a vehicle. On a farm, we drove it all the time anyway, but not on the highway, you know. But nevertheless, it was wonderful to be able to be able to get my driver's license and all that. Then the next thing in my life I looked forward to was getting out of high school, to graduate from high school. And all the years in high school and all were wonderful years. But when I graduated, that was a highlight of my life at that time. And then after that, I went off to school. And when I graduated from high school, first of all, my dad passed away and all, but I still went off to school and a lot of things took place in my life. I'm saying there's a lot of wonderful things that happen in our life. And you reflect back in your life, and I'm sure you can say there's a lot of wonderful things that's taken place in your life. But my question is, what is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Think about it. Now, Adam and Eve did not have the joy of being children. When God created Adam and Eve, they were adults, right? They were adults. They did not experience anything that we did coming up, growing up. They were just adults. God made them. He placed them there in the Garden of Eden. Okay? They didn't have the joy that you and I had of growing up. So it's a wonderful thing to know that I'm a human being. It's a wonderful thing to know that, that God, in His time, allowed me to have parents to rear and raise me and teach me and me to grow from year to year to become an adult up to I was out of high school and in college. And then I started a career. Okay? Those are wonderful things in my life. And probably all of you can identify with all these things. But what is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to you? What's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me in my life? Anyone want to share?
Salvation.
What?
Salvation.
Salvation. Without any doubt, I think all of us in here today would have to say the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you in your life and in me in my life is to be saved. Amen. To be saved. There's nothing more precious, nothing more greater that could happen to anybody than to be birthed into the family of God. Salvation. Salvation is wonderful. It's wonderful. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. These next few weeks, we're going to talk about this subject, salvation. We're going to look at some of the details of salvation. Details of salvation. You know, sometimes we take things for granted that we have. Amen? And because we are not refreshed about it, we don't think that much about it because it's just an everyday life, you know, that we go through, you know? And sometimes someone said, you don't miss something till it's gone. And that's true. I'm glad the salvation is a thing that's with us forever. But I'm glad today to know also that as we look at this thing about salvation and details of salvation, we're grateful to know that this is something that God Himself designed for mankind. And He designed it for everybody. Everybody. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read here in just a minute. We're going to pray first and ask God to help us and show us today some things as we begin this study on the details of salvation. Details of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You now for the Word of God that You've allowed us to have, to open, to share together. Though we know and realize that the Holy Spirit that lives within us is our teacher. And I pray today He would be our teacher in the midst of this class. I thank You, Lord, for everyone that's come. And I pray, Lord, now You would meet with us in a very special way. May the Word of God remind us of what You've done for us. And God, help us to be encouraged this year in 2018 to share more people the good news of the gospel than we did last year. Father, direct us now. Have Your will and way in all we say and all we do today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times, that means in various times and in many times, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. By the prophets. Now, whereas in the Old Testament we see that God used prophets, did He not, to speak to men, to instruct men, to teach men. He used the old prophets in the Old Testament. Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these people, God used them to speak to people. Moses and all these guys. But notice He says, in verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by His what? Son. In the days that you and I live, God has chosen to speak to us, how? By His who? Son. By His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He made the worlds. Jesus was in the beginning with the Father, was He not? He created the worlds. We find that in John chapter 1 also. He talks about that. In verse number 3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, notice when He had by Himself what? Purged our sins, okay? He purged our sin. Then what did He do? He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We see here the foundation, if you please, of salvation. When God Himself used prophets in the old to speak to people, now He's given His Son to come and die for mankind who is a sinner that our sins might be forgiven. He's laying the foundation here for the fact that He will save mankind through His Son. His Son is paying the debt for mankind for our sins, you see. Now look over in chapter 2. Look down in chapter 2 in Hebrews. As we continue this, reading about this. Therefore, in other words, therefore, and when you consider the things in chapter 1, especially verses 1, 2, and 3, therefore, the Bible says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, we need to take heed to the Word of God. What He said about His Son, how He purged our sins, and all this. Notice verse number 2. For if the Word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it was, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. The next verse asks a question. Verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great what?
Salvation.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The writer here in Hebrews tells us that salvation is great. I would say salvation is great. Would you not? Amen. Salvation is great. It's wonderful to be a child of God. It's wonderful to know that you're saved. You're saved. And we see here, there are many words we use for salvation. In the scriptures, we find many. We talk about salvation. We talk about sometimes the new birth. We talk about being born again. This is salvation. This is salvation. We talk about being saved, being forgiven. All these words reflect to the fact of being a salvation. So we see here that the writer in Hebrews is laying a foundation or basics, if you will, please, for this thing called salvation that you and I are blessed to know and be part of, you see. So now I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. As we continue looking about salvation. Salvation means deliverance, literally from sin. Deliverance. We have been delivered from sin if you're saved today. Number one, we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. Who paid for your sin? Who? Jesus paid for our sins. We have been delivered. Salvation means being delivered, a deliverance from sin. And that came about from God the Father made that provision for you and I, that you and I could be delivered from the very penalty of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? God. God. So we see salvation here, it means a deliverance from the penalty of sin. It also refers to being delivered from the very power of sin. The power of sin. Sin should have no dominion over us. We find that in the book of Romans. It should not. If we walk in the Spirit, sin will not have dominion over us. But if we walk in the flesh, it will. We also talk about here about deliverance from the power of sin, the penalty of sin. And last but not least, we find we're going to talk about being delivered from the very presence of sin. The very presence of sin. You and I live in a world that's full of sin. And where we go, we have to deal with sin, don't we? Everywhere. There's sin pops up in our presence all the time. Well, one day, praise God, we're going to be delivered from that. We're going to be in a place there will be no sin. What a day that's going to be. I look forward to that, don't you? I look forward to that time that we can be in that place. Now, in 1 Peter, we find here, as the writer, of course, we know is who? It's Peter. He's writing here, he says in verse number 1, says Peter. We find here the writer of this text, we see he is described here and by his name, first of all, Peter. And Peter was given his name by who? If you will, turn back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Let's look at Peter's name. The name Peter, Matthew 16, if you will please, give verse number 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus is in the midst of his disciples now, and he asked them this question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Whom say ye that I am? He's getting it down to the disciples that were with him. Okay, we know what the world says about me, who I am, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And notice verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you, unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed are you, he says, and I say, verse 18, unto thee, that thou art who? Peter. Thou art Peter. He gives him his name. You're Peter. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we see back over now in 1 Peter, where we were, in chapter 1, verse 1, that Peter's name was given to him by Jesus here. We see not only the name of the writer, we also see the office of the writer. The Bible says Peter and a what? Apostle. Apostle. It's a messenger. One sent forth. Okay? He's a messenger. Peter, he is a messenger here. An apostle of of Jesus Christ. Now, who is he an apostle to? Who is he an apostle to? He tells us in this verse, to the strangers scattered. The strangers that are scattered. He lists about five different towns here that they're scattered. He's an apostle to go to these towns and to talk to these people, you see. He's addressing this to them, but also Peter is addressing this to believers in general. He's addressing this to you, and he's addressing it to me, what he's about to say here in this passage, you see. Notice he says, who are strangers. You know, you and I as a Christian in this world, we must admit this. And if we get this down pat, it helps a whole lot. If we'll face the facts, as a Christian in this world, we are strangers no matter where we go. We're strangers. We're different from everybody else in this world, you see. And sometimes, as a believer, we have to realize and accept that. Because the way people respond to us, the way people act towards us and all that, hey, that's okay. Because I am a stranger. This is not my home. I got a better place than this to live forever. I thank God for that. But Peter here is writing to strangers, people, believers that are strangers in these countries, towns he lists here, and you and I, even in America today, are strangers here as a believer. And we need to realize that, you see. He's writing to them and trying to encourage them, and he's going to give them some information about what has happened to them as believers. What's happened to them as believers, you see. So we see this here is taking place here. Now, we see here in verse number two, as we look at this, next few verses, we're going to look at the details of salvation. We're going to look at how the entire Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three are involved in salvation. All three are involved in salvation. We see, first of all, God the Father. In verse number 2, look at verse 1. Verse number 2, the first word, elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of who? God the Father. Elect. So we see when it comes to salvation, He elected us. If you're saved today, He elected you. Now listen, don't take this out of context. I'll get to it in a few minutes, what I'm talking about being elected, you see. I do not believe that God has only chosen certain people to be saved, is what I'm saying. The Bible says so much, too many times, about whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever shall be saved. But if you and I are saved, you're saved because God has elected to save people, is what I'm saying. He's elected to save whosoever will call upon Him and believe on Him. He's elected us to do that, you see. And we see this with the Trinity here. He is electing love by His foreknowledge, elected mankind to be saved. Elected mankind to be saved. The miracle of salvation is by faith, is it not? Through grace. And it all began with God. It all began with God. God designed a plan. God designed a plan. This took place in the deep council of eternity. In other words, in the beginning with God. God designed this. There was nobody there but God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The earth was not even created, or neither man was created. But this took place in the beginning, okay? The human race knew nothing about it. Nothing about it until God, through His Word, revealed it to mankind. But God knew all about it in the beginning, okay? He knew about it. And we see here that the miracle of salvation is, again, by faith, through grace, it all began with God. It all began with God in the beginning, in the beginning. We see also, God's election was not based on anything that man had done. Why? Because man was not even in existence at this time. Neither was the earth when God designed His plan of salvation. It was in the beginning with God, you see. We see the Father's election does not close the door of salvation to any sinner. To any sinner. God has a wide open door for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we acknowledge, first of all, that we're sinners and call upon the Lord to forgive us and save us, He'll save us, no matter who they are, no matter who we are. I'm so glad that salvation is for everybody, aren't you? I'm so glad that salvation, God through His Word reached down into my heart and helped me to realize and understand that I needed to be saved and I was lost. And may it be our prayer this year in 2018 to help this thing come back up to us fresh and anew, what God has done for us in saving us, and begin to share the testimony of how God saved us. You know, I had a professor in school one time talking about visitation, soul winning, all this. How so many times our minds as believers, we think this. If I go out and talk to people about the Lord, they're going to ask me questions and I can't answer them. Anybody ever thought that? If you've ever visited, all of us have, okay? I'm not going to be able to answer the question. You know, he said, but let me tell you something. This is not why you're out there. Listen, we don't have to prove to anybody that this is the Bible, God's infallible, inner Word of God, inspired. We don't have to prove this. This Bible proves itself. We're not Bible provers. We're Bible messengers. We're to tell the world this book, you see. It's our job to tell them about this book. He said, but the key is this. In your life as a believer, when you go visiting, you tell people what Jesus did for you. You tell people what Jesus did for you, how He saved you. If you'll tell that to people, people will listen to you. And people will come to know Christ as their Savior more by that sometimes than they will by listening to the Word of God. Now, we need to present the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. We need to do it all. But don't think that we're out there only just to prove the Bible is the Word of God. We're out there to tell people what Christ has done for me, He'll do for them. He'll do for them. He'll save them just like He saved me, you see. So, we see in 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says God is not slack concerning His promise. See, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is willing. We see here, God the Father, He elected us. He elected us. We're unable. We as human beings are unable to explain the Father's election. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I can't explain the election of God. I can't. There ain't no way I can do it. But I can rejoice over it. Amen? I can rejoice in the fact that God has elected us. And He has chosen us as believers. In Romans chapter 11, if I can find it here, look at verse number, let's see here. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Look at verse 33. The Bible says this. It says, Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and notice, and through him, and to him are all things. It says, for of him, okay? Of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You know, it's not for us to understand the wisdom of God, the elect of God, but the thing is this, that we might accept the fact that God has elected us to be his children, to be saved. He's elected. He had already designed a plan. He designed a plan that you and I could be his children, you see. So we are unable to explain the Father's election here, but we can rejoice in it. I can rejoice in the fact that I know I'm God's child. He has elected me to be saved. He's elected you to be saved also. By the way, he's elected everybody to be saved, but everybody won't respond to his grace and his mercy. His grace and his mercy. So see, first of all, he elected us. God's election is based upon his foreknowledge. His foreknowledge. I said a while ago, this took place, this plan design was in the beginning. Before the earth or any mankind, it was in the beginning. And this election is based upon his foreknowledge. He works on what he has foreknown. He was working on what he foreknew. May I explain this way? We, as individuals, we work on what we have learned, okay? What you know and what I know, we have been taught by somebody else. Amen? You and I were not just born with intellect. Somebody instructed us. Somebody told us what we know. We've experienced things to learn things and all this. But when it comes to God, we see he works on what he knows. What he knows. Not what he can learn. God works on what he knows. This is the foreknowledge of God. In the beginning, God foreknew that when he created the earth and he placed Adam and Eve on this earth, he knew that they were going to disobey him, did he not? That's the foreknowledge of God. He knew it. And therefore, he knew that through Adam and Eve, because if they're going to do it, everybody else is going to do it, I'm going to put on this earth. So he foreordained a plan called salvation, that mankind could be forgiven of their sins after they did wrong, after they disobeyed God, you see. So he works on what he has foreknown, what he knows, you see. We do not know anything until it happens. Do you get that? We don't know anything until it happens. But when it happens, hopefully we learn something. And someone said, we learn by experience. We learn by experience a lot of things in life, do we not? And so we see, but God's not that way, because God knows everything. God knows everything. Therefore, if he knew what man was going to do, therefore, he foreknew that, and it through his foreknowledge, he elected us, all mankind, to become children of God. To become children of God. He knows when people are coming to be saved. He knew that on April the 27th, I was going to get saved. I was going to get saved. I'll never forget that day. Never forget that day. I really believe with all my heart, if I hadn't went that day, I think I would have crossed a deadline and God would have forsaken me. I mean, I was just that much in under conviction. I've been a conviction a lot of my life, you know, but you get to the point sometimes that, you know, God says, okay, this is it, buddy. This is your time, you know. And that was the day that God saved me, you see. But see, we see that he knows when we're coming to salvation. His foreknowledge his foreknowledge does not do away with the will of mankind. Man can accept Christ or reject Christ. Even though God knows what that person's going to do. Were they going to accept him or reject him, you see? But I'm saying again, the foreknowledge of God does not do away with the will of man. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God gives every person that opportunity to be saved. Aren't you glad? I'm glad he does. This is the free will of man. We all have a choice to make. It's up to you and it's up to me. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. We have to make it for our own self. For our own self. So we see here, when we're talking about the details of salvation, first of all, we're talking about God the Father, how he has elected us. In the beginning, he, the Spirit, and the Son, we see, counseled together, God formulated this plan called salvation, that mankind could be forgiven of our sins. Do we not see the love of God in this? Do we not see how much God so loved you and God so much loved me? That God, knowing me before I was ever born, or you, knew what I was going to do. And by the way, God hasn't changed. God still knows what I'm going to do. In my life, from now until he takes me home, he still knows that, you know? But yet he still loves me. He still loves me in spite of me. And I'm so glad today to know that God has provided for me and for everybody that's ever lived in this world, from Adam to today, and continues to live till Jesus comes. He's provided a means whereby mankind can be forgiven of their sins. And it's called salvation. Salvation. Probably all of you here today are saved. Folks, listen, let's don't take for granted what God's done for us in saving us, in saving us. Because you know as well as I know, when you go out there in that world today, the vast majority of people out there are not saved. They're not saved. And yes, we feel out of place. But this is just a temporary thing, folks, a temporary thing. Things are going to change, aren't they? Things are going to change. And we one day are going to be in heaven, Jesus and those that's gone on before us. It's going to be a glad reunion day. A glad reunion day. In 2018, may it be my prayer and your prayer to share what God's done for us with somebody else. With somebody else. You know, if we'll tell, we never know what God can do. You know, we're to sow the seed. We're to let people know the goodness of God. Whether they accept it or they reject it, it's up to them. It's in their hands then. It's in their hands then. But God wants us to do that. Salvation, the details of it. We talked about the Father today. Next Sunday we're going to talk about the Spirit and also the Son. And their part also of this great thing we will talk about this month of salvation. God's so great salvation, folks. Listen. May it be on the top of our list of what God has done for me. He saved me. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for my salvation. Father, Lord, I don't understand how you love us. I don't understand why. But Lord, I'm so glad you do. God, knowing what we were going to do when you created, before you even created the world and created mankind, we see your love expressed through devising a plan, Lord, that you would come through your word and teach us about you, that we might know your great love and see it expressed throughout history. We're grateful, Lord, for that. We thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, that gives us that plan that you have designed, and Lord, that we've been blessed through years by having teachers and preachers to teach us, to instruct us, and to help us to see this great plan. How, Lord, you saved us now. Lord, help us, Lord, to realize now it's in our hands. It's our responsibility now to share and to tell this great plan to mankind. Lord, help us to be busy this year, 2018, more so than ever. God, I pray you'd fill us with your Spirit, your power. God, that we might know what to say. Lord, that you might give us the opportunities, Lord, to share this great plan called salvation with others. Father, please help us and lead us this year. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way. Everything is said and done. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.